This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome.
Hi, and welcome to My Favorite Murder.
The Minisodes.
We read your shit to you.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. Are you totally jacked up for it?
I'm jacked up and I'm ready.
And do you want me to go first?
Yes. Jacked up for you to go first.
Oh, we usually say this is where you send us your hometown stories, murder stories that happen in your hometown. But now we've opened up to all variety of things.
Just stories.
Just kind of a good story.
Yeah, like do you have a kind of cool story that you tell someone maybe two beers in because there's not much else to talk about?
Yeah.
Send it to us.
Dig deep. What's that weird thing your uncle found in Germany when he was posted over there for army duty?
Exactly.
That kind of stuff. Yeah, Nazi gold.
A Nazi gold is a gold mine.
If you know where the Nazi gold train is buried, we'd love to hear about it.
Tell us.
So this first one, the subject line is a murderer as an acting scene partner, parentheses, a very LA story.
Love it.
Hey, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and animal friends. A few weeks ago, my friend Alexis, who's an actress in LA, as am I, was in his teen study class, and they had to pick a scene partner to meet outside class, rehearse, etc., as you do.
No.
So she didn't really know anyone in the class, but had briefly met this guy, Chris, so they picked each other as partners. They exchanged numbers, but when Alexis texted him a few days later to rehearse, he didn't get back to her.
Mm-mm.
She texted him a few more times, and then a week later, he finally responded saying, "Can't do it, something came up."
Mm-mm.
A few days later, she was reading a news article about the young missing actress, Adia Shabani, when she saw that the girl's boyfriend, Chris Spotts, her acting partner, had led the police on a chase across Los Angeles County in a stolen car, then fatally shot himself after the pursuit. Police found Adea's remains in a shallow grave outside Sacramento, and Chris is the main suspect in the murder.
Oh my God.
AKA he did it and then killed himself when pursued. Oh, and it came out that the douchebag had a fiance outside of LA. So basically, my friend almost did a scene with a murderer and a cheater. Stay sexy and don't choose murder as acting partners. Ariana.
When did he find the time to even text her, "Sorry, something's come up"?
Yeah, what? If people have ghosted people for so much less than that.
I want to know the timeline of like when that text was sent.
I bet you she was really hounding him.
Yeah.
She was just like, "Guys, look, we've got to get this scene for Danny and the Deep Blue Sea
You're
together.
You're really screwing me over.
I'm not going to get a bad grade because you can't get it
and
together."
And he's like, "I'm kind of busy right now."
He's like, "I'm having a psychotic break
and
doing terrible things."
Aww.
That's so horrible.
That's awful. Okay. This one's called, "So I guess both my parents work with murderers."
Mm.
"Hi, MFM humans and animals." Great.
Well done.
"My friend Stacy got me hooked on the podcast when we were driving around the country on tour doing children's theater." Oh, this is an actor's episode.
It's kind of a theme.
"But I've been a murderino since childhood. My mom worked in criminology when I was growing up, and she used to sit me down in front of the sex offenders registry database," which she helped create because she's a badass, "and tell me that all those were bad people, even the woman who looked like a grandma." That is amazing.
That's horrifying.
I love her mom. She not only made the sex offenders database, she made her daughter study the faces of the sex offenders.
You know why that's such a good idea? Because it's like going, they look like anybody at Costco.
That's, I think, what her point was, is like, that, see that little old lady?
Yeah.
Sex offender.
Do not trust.
So then the next line of the last line of the paragraph is, thanks for the trust issues, mom.
Yeah.
That's the only problem we got.
From age 8. Yeah. Yeah.
She also told me about how when she was working in jails in the 80s, there was a liquor store down the street and the guards would let inmates who were in for drug crimes and other minor things go there and get beer or whatever. Wow.
like just do a 7-Eleven run?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
We're in there for drug crimes.
No. It's not as bad as some things.
I mean, these days, drug crimes are...
Free them all.
Free them all.
Free them all, real.
Most of them. Okay. Free them all when they're not, when there's no violent offenses.
Just the drug crimes. We're only talking drug crimes. Yeah. No violent offenses. No. Nothing beyond. But there's so many just like low-key dealers.
Well, did you hear what's her face's, Cynthia Nixon's quote about like, we need
pot?
A... Yeah.
It was about legalizing pot?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
I can't say it offhand.
Okay. I could go on and on about my mom's crime stories forever, but I'll get to the murder. I was just talking to my father when he goes, remember that? I'm going to do dad voice. Remember that guy at work who asked for time off and it turned out it was because he had murdered his wife? And I was like, no, I would definitely remember that. Apparently this guy he worked with, Galen, murdered his wife in 1983 and then drove her body in the car, parked it behind a bar, and elaborately staged the scene to look like a robbery. My dad remembers him claiming his wife was abusive, but I can't find anything about that in reading about the case, so I think he just doesn't want to believe he had worked with a murderer. Galen was out on appeal when he was working with my dad and had to request the aforementioned time off to go stand trial.
Oh, shit.
He ended up pleading guilty and went to prison for a few years.
So then the job, were they going to hold the job for him?
Hire him back on, but at the same pay rate a couple years later. What fuck. The fuck?
Fuck.
The whole reason my dad brought it up was because when they worked together, Galen had claimed to be involved in the creation of Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
I've done some Googling and I can't find anything to back that up. SSDGN M. SSDGM Alana.
Oh, I also created Dungeons and Dragons.
Me too.
They won't credit us because they're jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, I was only well, 3 years old and I...
but I felt the need to create it. Okay, ready for the subject line?
Absolutely.
My mom was married to Drew Peterson and coincidence.
That's a coincidence.
That's big stuff. So let's see, last mini-sode episode, there was the coincidence letter about a woman who was being... They were trying to pick the jury for a murder case and it turned out it was her nephew's murder case and she was dismissed.
And we said, send us your fucking coincidences, which so. And Steven gave me 5 coincidences to choose from this time, which I was like, he's like, the first 5 are murder and the last 5 are coincidences. And I just went to the last 5 immediately.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
You're like, give me them coincidences. Some people say there's no such thing. You decide.
You tell us.
Hello. Yes, my mom was Drew Peterson's first wife. My 2 older half-brothers are his sons. Thank God my mom stayed sexy or I wouldn't be here. This is not my hometown, so I won't bore you with the details. Are you fucking joking me?
Bore me with the details.
We bore me all day long.
We have never done Drew Peterson.
No, we haven't.
Mm-mm.
But I did the Drew Peterson made-for-TV movie on Mal's podcast, Mother May I Sleep With podcast.
Right.
And Steven was there. We talked for like over 2 hours.
Yeah,
right?
You guys.
That episode, yeah, is like 3 hours.
It's the funniest made-for-TV movie. Ugh. It's Rob Lowe as Drew Peterson. Ugh. It's so nuts.
Amazing. I did an Amish chick gets pregnant. That's not really what it's called.
your episode of that?
Yeah. Mother May I Sleep With podcast.
So good.
What did I call it again? Amish my period.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the...
That's what I called it.
That's hilarious.
Amish podcast.
Listen to Molly McAleer's podcasts. Does she still do Please Advise?
Yeah, Please Advise is going. Mother May I Sleep With podcast is kind of on hiatus right now.
But there's a ton of episodes you can listen to.
She's already recorded a ton and they're so good. And she's such a good interviewer / conversation holder.
She's just so dry.
Yeah, and she has a totally unique, fascinating personality that I want to talk to forever.
She acts like she doesn't care, and then you find out she's the cariest person you've ever met in your life.
Isn't that always the way?
It's totally the way. Okay.
Okay. So we're like yelling at this person for not telling us more. And then we just change the subject out of Drew Peterson entirely. Sorry.
It's fine. It's our podcast.
This is not my hometown, so I won't bore you with the details that you're probably sick of hearing about.
No.
Not in the least. I want to give a shout out to my brother who has custody of Drew's brood. He is doing a bang up job raising those kids, considering the fucked upness they have to live with. Wow. That's hard.
That's amazing.
Okay. Anyway, this is more to her point. My hometown murder happened in 1994 in a western suburb of Chicago when I was 10 years old. I was walking home from a friend who lived about two blocks away from my house. I passed a house, which we could see from our front window, that had ambulances everywhere and police cars pulled up on the lawn. That's bad.
On the lawn, really?
When the police pull up as close to the front door as possible, something very bad has happened.
What does it mean?
It's like they're like, they... I don't know. They didn't stop on the street.
Yeah.
Emergency, that yells
to me. I never thought of that.
Just fucking get up there.
That's a good observation.
Thanks so much. I got home and nobody knew what was going on. Turns out this guy lost it because one of his stepkids didn't clean their room. So he shot up his family.
Jesus.
Injuring his wife and stepdaughter and killing his 7-year-old son.
Oh,
so sad.
God.
Fast forward 10 years and I'm working in a salon fairly new to doing hair. I had a new client sit in my chair and we get to talking. We discover that we lived in the same intersection growing up. Mm-mm. So I say, remember that dad that went crazy and killed his son?
No.
She replies with, yeah, that was my stepdad.
Oh.
My jaw drops. I apologize profusely. Talk about a foot in the mouth situation. I was so embarrassed that I don't remember the rest of the conversation, but she did say she wasn't home when it happened. Needless to say, I never saw her again. Oh. Lesson learned. Don't talk about murder with a new client you're trying to keep in your chair. Lauren.
Can you imagine having to cut that woman's hair after that?
This reminds me of the very few times in the VIP meet and greet line when will say, you talked about my aunt, you talked about my cousin or something, and both of us freeze and we're just like, are you okay?
Are you mad at us?
Yes.
Do you and then hate us?
Never have they said anything except for you did it well, but which is why I'm telling you this, because I'm bragging about us. No, but I mean, like, that feeling of...
They'll say, my uncle was blah, blah, blah. My aunt was so-and-so. And you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I hope.
I mean, these are real people.
Totally.
It's the thing that people always ask us about, but it's like... But for the most part, you don't have to interact face-to-face with it. But, like, She was doing what everybody else that isn't directly involved in murder does, which is, oh my God,
this is so exciting.
It's so terrible.
Right.
It's so like, can you believe this insane thing happened in our neighborhood?
Yeah.
And then, that's awful.
That sucks, man.
We know that you're a good person, Lauren.
We feel you. If you could get through that haircut, you're a good hairdresser, I feel like.
She has like hands of steel now.
Totally.
Nothing rocks that woman's world.
All right. This one's called A Middle Schooler and a Mom Walk into a Parking Lot. This is a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, actually, but it's a funny story.
Okay, good.
One typical day when I was in elementary school, my mom, Jill, who was a firm believer, much like Karen's quote, we aren't the Rockefellers, grandma, in picking up any change she finds on the ground, was dragging me around her usual errand route, the bank, grocery store, Target, etc. Much to her delight, we passed a folded up dollar bill in the parking lot, and of course there goes Jill jogging over to grab it. When she picked it up, she could tell that it wasn't just a single bill, so she exclaims, look at this! I bet there's multiple dollars in here. Tucked it in her back pocket and literally spent the whole time in the grocery store talking about the luck she had finding this money. When we got back to the car, she handed me the dollar and told me I could open it up and keep whatever was inside. Very excited. And you and I right now, when we hear this, think, oh my God, she just gave her kid $500, like something exciting, right?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Excitedly, I opened the wadded money and inside was not another bill, as my mom had predicted, but two dime bags of cocaine.
Too late. You said I get to keep it. It's mine.
I said, Mom, I think these are drugs. As Dare had just come to our school the week before, I was pretty confident in what it was I was seeing. Jill, who took her first shot of liquor at the age of 58, asked, are you sure they aren't just Smarties?
Oh
Mom.
Honey.
Jill.
Wait, pills of cocaine?
No, I think it was like powder.
Oh.
But she's just like ground up Smarties. I think she thought it might
well,
be.
Well, we might as well do it and see.
It's a liquor stick. Let's eat it.
Yes, they're wrapping candy in dollar bills and throwing it into the parking lot. Jill.
You know. She snatched the wad back from me and spent the car ride home talking about the exciting new details to this mystery dollar case. At home, she showed everything to my dad, who decided calling the cops was too much of a hassle and flushed the bags down the toilet. But hey, I still got to keep the dollar. SSDGM Olivia.
It turns out that, you know, those like drug busts where they're like, you know, they're shipping bathtubs and then it turns out the bathtub is not porcelain. It's made of cocaine.
That's not real.
Yes. They have like drug busts where it's like they just pour cocaine into the molds of other things.
Okay, but there has to be something keeping the cocaine together.
Yeah, yeah, they bind it with... Have you seen this, Steven? Do you know what I'm talking about?
They, like, break...
He doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I want it to be in the lining of the porcelain mold. You break the porcelain and then cocaine comes out. Because you can't make cocaine that hard, can you?
Well, can't you do it with, like, a jello mold, but bathtub-shaped? Steven will look it up and then he'll explain it.
Now I only just want a jello bathtub.
Maybe this is just my dream of a cocaine bathtub.
I think we're both talking about what we really want, to be real.
For Christmas. You know, why are we talking about it?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Because we're clearly drug dealers.
Yes. And we're sending out a secret message.
We're sophisticated drug mules. What?
I respect.
Drugs?
Yes. Oh. I definitely respect drugs. The idea that you would think of that idea where if you folded up a dollar and threw it out the car window and it had cocaine inside, when the cops saw somebody go pick up a dollar, it could be anybody, and you wouldn't question it because anybody would pick up a dollar bill.
Cut that out, Steven. You just told everyone how to fucking deal drugs just now.
Let's do this thing,
that's
everybody.
Illegal.
Leave the drugs in the parking lot. Anything, Steven, or did I dream cocaine bathtubs?
I think your house is full of cocaine bathtubs.
Steven, you have 4 minutes to find that
article. The problem is Karen tried to snort her bathtub once when she was an alcoholic.
That's why I'm 30 minutes late for everything, is I just keep scratching on the bathtub.
You've just been snorting porcelain for fucking years.
Yes. So
that's where the seizures are coming from.
That's it. That's my neurological damage. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready for
one
this
more.
Last one?
Let's do it.
The subject line is, I know Paul Onions.
No.
Yas. And there's a pic included.
Woo.
Hey, guys. In 2005, I was living in London putting myself through uni.
Uni.
By working as a waitress at the Hard Rock Cafe near Hyde Park. I've been there.
Have you really?
Yeah, in our like high school trip to Europe where you went to like 10 countries in 2 days.
Let's go there when we're in London.
I used to have a Hard Rock London shirt.
We're getting a new one for you.
Awesome. We stood in line for so long for that.
There's
fucking
a line?
Shirt. Well, there was in 1987.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
God, that was a long time ago. Okay. I became close friends with a Canadian girl who lived with her boyfriend of 5 years, Paul. Mm. When the movie Wolf Creek came out, which is loosely based on Malat, Ivan Milat, I asked... And if she and her man wanted to go, to which she replied in a very polite Canadian way, probably not. My boyfriend is the guy that escaped him in real life.
Woo!
What the fuck?
Onions!
And buttons. Of course, I asked her to tell me everything she knew. She said that they started dating a couple years after the trial, and that having to go back and face Milat haunted him to that day. Of course it fucking did. It's a nightmare.
The monstrous monster.
That story that I did when we were in Australia was so fucking awful. Talking through it, whatever that show was, where I had to just keep being like, and then he walked her out into the middle of the fucking wilderness.
And then her car ran out of gas.
Awful.
And then, yeah, but you did a great job. I still remember it. And I don't remember anything. I don't remember this morning. I mean, listen, it brought us Paul Onions, so it was worth it.
That poor fucking man
who hates us.
He hates our guts. There's no way he's not like every once in a while getting a message. Guys, seriously, please leave Paul Onions alone.
I just keep posting like a new on Instagram. There'll be like another really great drawing of Paul Onions logo, and I'll post it and be like, he has a restraining order against us now, but I have to post it.
Like, we can do it for ourselves and just like him as a concept. Sure. We don't know him as a person. We don't have to be in his life. Please don't try to contact poor fucking Paul Onyeats. God, it's a nightmare.
But if you do, tell him we love him.
Yes.
Tell him thank you.
If you're already friends with him.
Tell him we think he's a hero.
Give him just a nice rub on the middle back. I'm sorry that I can't say your name offhand, but to whoever the person is who made me a keychain with an onion on it, with eyes and a face.
That's right.
And I believe it was maybe Salt Lake City or maybe Cleveland or Columbus. I can't remember. I use it every day.
You do.
That's my keychain now, just so you know. It's because they gave it to me and I was like, this is so nice. Thanks. And she looked at me and she was like, it's Paul Onyeats. It's basically a human onion.
It's the best.
All right.
It's a bloomin' human onion.
It's a bloomin'. Oh, wait. Okay. So sorry. He used to come in and have a beer at the bar waiting for her when we were closing up at 1 a.m. Even though it was many years later and it seemed to be something that troubled him enough to still, they never felt right. It never felt right to bring it up or ask him about his experience. Good call, yes. You fucking lunatic. Oh my God. Don't ever do that.
You and the haircutting girl should hang out.
Seriously.
Teach each other some lessons.
Hey, how about this overall life lesson? Zip it. Zip it until you're fucking best friends. You're doing a little bit of a blood brother ceremony. You have to be like in it to win it. They drive you to the airport type of friends.
You've already told them about your deepest, darkest secrets. You go, how about you go first?
You go fucking first with horrible, weird, terrible, bad memory. And you lay it all on the thing
next time
and
you
then
meet
dig
someone,
around.
Immediately tell them I got pantsed in fifth grade. And then they're going to be like, I'm sorry, what? I just met you.
I don't want to do this with you.
I don't know nothing. Never mind.
We're yelling so much at Emily when she doesn't really deserve it. But we just want to be protective of our precious Paul Onyeats and anyone that's had an experience like that. And now she goes and tells his business. They split up a couple years later. And though I am still close with the Canadian girl, I haven't seen him in years and hope he has found some small portion of peace with his experience.
Aw, that's nice.
I've included a photo from pub drinks after work for you, Karen. I hope this email reaches you now that I finally wrote it. SSDGM, Emily in LA.
Emily, that's nice. Let me see.
Okay,
we can't post this.
But we'll just tell
explain
you.
Explain it.
It's pub drinks, so he's standing there with a beer in his hand.
A pint of bitters. Pint.
He has the cutest smile on his face, and he looks like a very happy man.
He looks like an Edgar Wright character. And he'd be in an Edgar Wright movie.
He looks like he would be he looks like Hugh Grant would play him in the movie.
He's like kind of hot, you guys.
He's got a great fucking face and he looks happy.
A great Australian face.
Yes.
Is he Australian?
No, he's British.
He's got a great British face. He's got the kind of face where you're like, oh, he's super cute. And then you find out he's British and he's so much hotter.
So much cuter.
Like, yeah.
Because, you know, he'd speak to you in low lilting tone.
Yeah. And he's like probably a fun drunk.
Yeah.
He like sings like British songs when he's drunk.
He fucking he's like, we gotta get chips when he's drunk all the time. And you're just
another pint of bitters.
You're right. We have to get chips.
I do just want to put this out there though.
Okay.
Cause maybe he is finding it funny. Maybe like Jennifer Morey, he's like, oh, you guys put a positive spin on this horrible thing that happened to me. And I appreciate it. I'm just saying we're going to be in London and Manchester. So if he does feel that way and wants to come to one of our shows,
please, Paul, and I swear to God,
Really normal.
Nobody, this is his decision. Do not tell him or anything. But if it gets to him verbally through friendship.
Sure.
And
legit
he wants
friendship.
To come.
Yeah.
He can come to any show in the UK.
And you can come and hang out backstage with Vince. You don't have to go in the audience because the audience is going to fucking fangirl all over you and take photos with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Or
you can do it your way.
It's your way. And that way could include being carried in on a sedan chair if you want it to be that
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely.
I doubt he wants it to be that way.
Or we could just go get a pint of bitters after the show.
Can you imagine?
I can imagine.
I would die.
What if we got sour cream and onion ones? And we're like, Paul, sour cream and onion.
Wait, you keep saying...
He just said no. He just heard me say that. I was like, never mind. Bitters. That's what... Isn't that beer in British?
A pint of bitters, I thought, was like those herbs that you take with soda water when your stomach is upset.
No, I think bitters are beer.
Could be.
You know what?
This is a lesson we're going to learn when we're in England.
They're going to scream it at us.
I mean, I hope you live it.
This is my ploy to get them to send me a pint backstage.
Yeah, because you can't get anything backstage.
I can't get anything backstage.
I can't get anything I need. Steven, just real quick, tell us what the British version of bitters means.
Yeah. And we'll just sit here quietly and wait and watch.
Yep.
You.
This is solid podcasting.
I didn't find the bathtub, but they did use a t-shirt cannon to shoot drugs over the border.
That's good.
I'm going to find that bathtub and show it to you. I will find it.
And then a pint of bitters. Bitters are is beer.
A type of beer.
Get your check.
Or.
I know what bitters are.
But like an English bitter.
An English bitter is like a beer.
Is
George is a cocktail person. She knows her shit.
Oh, it is. It is a type of beer.
Thank God.
Suck my bitters. Is it?
Yeah.
Is
that- the bitter style came from brewers who wanted to differentiate these ales from other mild brews.
Yeah, it's light. It's like a light beer.
When George said suck my bitters, both hands went out and then both hands gestured in toward her bitters.
Yeah, I did the and it was, suck it gesture. Yeah. Steve Austin's.
Karate hand sucker gesture.
That's Stone Cold Steve Austin's.
Is that his thing?
Yeah.
And he goes boom, boom with his pelvis.
It's very offensive. It's very late 90s.
You know, it's a way to say suck it.
Yeah.
If you're talking to someone who's hard of hearing, they know immediately what you mean. It's important. All right. That's the minisode.
Send us your anything. Send us anything, literally. myfavoritemurder@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, you guys.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Elvis, you want cookie? Good boy.
It was so small.